What's up, everyone? I'm Em.
I'm Nick.
And welcome in to the Ominous Archives. All right. Another day in the archives.
Another day. One whole day.
One whole day in the archives.
It's getting cold.
It is getting cold. I love it, though. I was born in the summer. I am not a summer baby, like, in my heart and soul. Like, in my heart of hearts.
I mean, I feel like August is, like, borderline.
Yeah.
Borderline. You're, like...
Yeah.
It's, like, I mean, like, it's a dog... Kind of dog days of summer, mm-hmm. but at the same time, like, everybody's amping up because they're, like, fall.
It's so, my favorite time of the year. Like, I mm-hmm. just love the colder months. Yeah. Like, everything about it. It's just my whole vibe.
That's kind of why I love living in, like, the Northeast.
Yeah.
Because... I love getting all four seasons. I don't, people who are like, oh, like, Florida's 75 all year round. I'm like, that's cool, but,
yeah, but
have
I'm
you
like,
seen snow before?
Right. I'm like, when was the last time you saw snow?
When's the last time your car got stuck in snow?
Seriously. aside from that, I really have nothing new.
Well, 2 weeks ago, you stayed in a haunted hotel.
I did indeed. I did.
So she did it. She made it.
I did,
she
and now I'm talking about another one.
Kind of.
Kind of.
There's been something that's, like, filed her back. Something's...
Of course it would happen to me.
Yep.
Why wouldn't it? So, like I said, in this week's episode, I'm taking us to a hotel. I really don't know what it is with me and hotels, but I'm just drawn to them for some reason. I just love a good hotel. I feel like
It's, like, your niche.
My fourth, I think.
Yeah. The hotels are your niche in...
I love them.
...in this.
And even... And then he's done a couple.
Have I? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did Stanley.
Yeah, okay, not a couple. He's done one.
Yeah, I did one.
He's done one hotel.
What about that?
Oh, no,
because you did
it.
The one in Austin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You take the hotels.
Yeah, I was say, you usually do the hotels. I do, like, the cryptids. And
yeah.
I need to dive back into those. It's been a while.
Well, with every great old haunted hotel, I have to give you the history rundown, of course. So in the mid-1920s, as tourism was on the rise in Flagstaff, Arizona... Local residents recognized the need for first-class accommodations to meet the growing demand. The existing hotels in the area were outdated and just no longer met the standards of the time. In response to this need, a collective effort was launched to establish a new, modern hotel in the heart of Flagstaff.
I kind of wonder, too, if... I've never been to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like on...
It's so hot.
It's on the bucket list, but I wonder if it's kind of like a... like, I've been to Italy, so I wonder if it's like the Italy heat. Where it's, like, just dry.
I was just going to say, my friend Amber's sister lived there for a while. Mm-hmm. It's dry heat, but it's so hot. Like, hundreds every day in the summer.
Yeah, it was, like, 109 when we were in Italy.
You
think you can't, but it's not bad. Like, we walked all around in, like, Tuscany and stuff, and you just didn't... You're sweating. Like, it's hot, but it's not, like, the heat here.
Yeah, it is different.
This heat is... This heat's... disgusting.
It is. The humidity
in our heat is rough.
Yeah.
Whereas when you just have that dry hotness, it's
not
you
as
just,
bad.
Yeah. You're not like miserable. You're like, this is just hot.
It's just hot. So the fundraising efforts began in April in 1927 with many of the wealthy citizens investing in the project, and the renowned novelist Zane Grey contributed a generous donation. Within a month, the total funds raised amounted to approximately $200,000, which was a lot of money for that era. With the financial backing secured, ground was broken on June 8, 1926, marking the commencement of construction. The construction plans for the 73-room hotel incorporated two existing structures, the local post office, which had been in operation from 1917 to 1927, and the building that housed the Coconino Sun Newspaper Company, now known as the Monte V Cocktail Lounge. This placement of historic elements into the new hotel design added a unique character to the property, and on New Year's Day, 1927, the hotel opened its doors for business. It was initially named the Community Hotel in honor of the townspeople who contributed to its existence. However, the name Monte Vista, meaning Mountain View, was ultimately chosen by a 12-year-old winner of a naming contest, who I think for a 12-year-old perfectly captured the hotel's surround. Like, that's a good name.
Mountain View? Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
better than when I tried to name the Eagles mascot. I tried to name the Meagles mask the Eagles mascot Tiger.
Now Nick.
I was five or something like that. I was little.
Sure. But like you could have Eagle would have been funnier. Like I tried to name him Tiger.
Just asked me and Tiger was the first word on my brain.
Tiger.
Yeah.
Swoop's a good name. Whoever the kid is who came up with that was a good one. For decades, the Monte Vista Hotel remained the longest publicly held commercial property in Arizona. It wasn't until the early 1960s that the hotel was sold to a private investor. Today, the Monte Vista stands as one of the oldest hotels in Flagstaff and is listed on the U.S. Register of Historic Places. When aren't they?
It's almost like a badge of honor. Uh-huh. You can't be like haunted or whatever if you don't have the
this little stamp of historical.
What the hell is it?
Register of historical places. Yeah, the
Register of Historical Places. Why well, don't I? Whew, talk about drawing a blank.
So beyond its role as a premier lodging destination, the Monte Vista Hotel also played a pivotal role in the early days of radio broadcasting in Flagstaff. In 1927, Mary Costigan.
Oh, wait. Side thing. So, I didn't watch the full clip, and I meant to go back and watch it. But I saw a thing that compared that said Mary Poppins was the same type of creature or monster as it, or as Pennywise.
What?
Right?
Hello?
Yeah.
Where did you send me this?
I didn't send it. I saved it. I think I saved it in our podcast Instagram.
I was going to say, no, I didn't see this. That's crazy.
Yeah, you said Mary and it made me. I was like, whoa.
Huh. I will have to take a look.
Yeah.
So in 1927, Mary Costigan, the second woman in the world to be granted a radio broadcasting license, hailing from Detroit, relocated to Flagstaff to assist her brother John and his business partner in running After years of supporting the family business, Mary took over due to her brother's declining health. She then established a 25-watt radio station backstage at the Majestic Opera House. In 1929, she moved the station to the Monte Vista Hotel, upgrading it to a powerful 100-watt station that aired 3 hours a day.
That's pretty wild that there was a radio station. Like, that's pretty cool.
Also wild that she was only the second woman in the world to be granted one.
Yeah.
Shout out her.
I like how, WIP will host in their, whatchamacallit, like, in Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah,
I don't know if they do it at the Link.
Yeah, I don't know.
Eagles games are expensive.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never been to an Eagles game
Did you hear how much ticket prices are for them?
Absolutely insane. I think astronomical.
I think $393 or $383 for standing room.
Yep.
Insane.
Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. It's wild. The home opener. We're playing the Cowboys and all that. And like,
then
but, like,
it's banner night and everything. Yeah. But
crazy. It's insane.
I don't understand how, like.
I know. I could go to 50 Flyers games with the amount of money I would spend on one Eagles game.
How many Phillies games could you get standing room in?
Oh, my gosh. That's the smartest thing to do with Citizens Bank.
But, oh, yeah. CBP is a great.
Get yourself some standing room.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't need to.
There is not a bad seat in that ballpark.
Yeah, it's a great stadium.
I could go on and on. Yeah. Back to my hotel. Mm-hmm. The maiden broadcast from the hotel's location drew an audience of over 400 residents, highlighting the excitement and anticipation surrounding this new technological advancement. A system of underground tunnels was rumored to have been built by Chinese immigrants that snaked their way from Northern Arizona University up through downtown Flagstaff.
Wow, that's crazy.
Right?
I feel like every place, not every place, but I feel like a lot of places, too, that are haunted have tunnels.
Mm-hmm. Or rumored to have tunnels.
Or tunnels, yeah. Right. Actually, I'm sure going to dig a tunnel under my house.
Mm-hmm. Businesses, including the Weatherford Hotel, Babbitt's Back County, and the Monte Vista, apparently all have had access to those basement tunnels. In the early 1900s, a devastatingly large fire damaged many buildings in downtown Flagstaff, and Chinese migrant workers were blamed for the fire because of their cooking and cleaning practices.
Of course.
Right, of course. After that, the Chinese began to use these systems to get around town without being harassed. They're now used for storage and piping. It is said that the larger portions of the tunnels have been home to more suspicious activity over the years, such as opium dens, moonshine distilleries, gambling machines, and other relics have been discovered in the depths of Flagstaff's underworld.
That's cool. So they are actually tunnels.
They are. But they don't know if that, like, what their use was. Like, mm-hmm. that was the whole, like, Chinese immigrant thing, and, like, the whole, that's kind of just, like, a theory that they came up with because they had no other theories.
Well, I mean, I guess it sounds like a good theory, especially if they were like, well, the fire happened, and then they blame them, so. Makes sense.
Wouldn't surprise me, right?
But I guess you'll never know.
Yeah.
Gotta create that time machine.
I guess we'll never know. This, I thought, was just an interesting tidbit to add. I love a good speakeasy. The Cocktail Lounge opened during the Prohibition era under the guise of a newspaper publishing house.
We went to a speakeasy. It was called the Alpine Rose in the city. It's really, really, really good. It was like probably one of the most expensive restaurants we've ever eaten at.
Yeah.
But the food was just phenomenal.
I want to go to a speakeasy so bad.
It's a restaurant, but go to Alpine Rose. Like, make a reservation. It's so worth it.
Yeah.
You're gonna spend money.
Right.
But it's going to be good food, cool atmosphere.
It's worth it.
Worth it.
Rumor has it that during this time, there was a major bootlegging operation and speakeasy in this space. Local off put an end to it in 1931. Popular speakeasy was forced to shut down, only to reopen 2 years later when the Prohibition ended in 1933.
Well, it's not too bad.
Stick it to the people.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too bad. And it closed and then only the closed for 2 years. Yeah. It sounds like a lot, but
they reopened. It's all right. As of today, the hotel stands as a cherished landmark in the historic downtown district of Flagstaff. With 73 rooms and suites spread across 3 floors, the hotel has welcomed numerous famous guests over the years, including old Hollywood legends such as John Wayne, Spencer Tracy, Clark Gable, Esther Williams. Do you know any of these people? They're very old-timey, old Hollywood, mm-mm. but very famous back in the time. It was a big deal then.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they're the...
The only one that I did know without looking it up was John Wayne, and then I had to look up every other name, because I was like, wait a minute, who are these people?
I will say that my serial killer brain kicked in. I was like, wait, Gacy?
Yeah, wait, John Wayne Gacy, ? No, not that one. Thank God. There will be no crossover with him here.
No.
The hotel's historical significance extends way beyond its architectural and cultural heritage. It has also been featured as a haunted location on the paranormal TV series Most Terrifying Places, which aired on the Travel Channel in 2019, which is actually where I remembered the hotel from and reminded me that I'd never done an episode of it. I saw that. I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
As I've been saying, and I'm sure you're dying to get to it, it's always been known for rumors of hauntings and sightings. And
was that pun intended?
All the fun stuff. What?
Dying to get to it.
You know what I always think of whenever we would pass a cemetery and my mom would go, oh, look, it's a cemetery. People are dying to get there.
My mom's got some good one-liners.
She really does have some good one-liners. Yeah. And I swear, like, the older I get, the more I find myself saying, like, my mom's sayings. I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm.
We should just make a book of my mom's sayings.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, literally she really call is it
my
funny.
Mom's sayings.
Uh-huh. As with nearby buildings of similar age, there are spirits haunting some of the rooms and the halls. Of course.
God, they gotta be.
It's no surprise that some spirits stick around for an eternity. The current staff at the hotel encourages communication with the ghosts if you're looking for an extraordinary experience. So our first ghost is the Meat Man.
Meat Man?
The Meat Man.
Is he a butcher?
We'll see.
The butcher of Hotel Monta Vista?
Yeah, there you go.
He's a hash-slinging slasher.
You can find him in room 220. This bizarre long-term resident of the hotel was known by his strange habit of hanging raw meat from the chandelier.
That's interesting.
Yeah. In the early 1980s, the man was found in his room 3 days after his death.
Mm.
Not long after his death, a maintenance worker was working on a few repairs. When in need of a new fixture, he left the room, turn the lights off, and lock the door. Returning only a few minutes later, he found the television at full volume, and the linens on the bed had been ripped and scattered all around the room.
Wow, that's what you get for remaking that room.
Seriously. Today, it is common for the television to act up on its own accord, as well as reports of cold male hands touching guests in their sleep.
How do they know they're male hands?
You can 1,010% tell the difference between a man and a woman's hands.
This is probably valid.
90% of the time, I feel like you can tell.
That's valid.
You can tell the difference.
Yeah.
You're going to like this one, Nick. Our next story involves a rocking chair. Because of course it does.
Heck yeah. It's been a long time since we've had like an old classic
rocking chair.
Rocking chair haunted.
This can be found in room 305. It's featured in Mary Poppins?
We just talked about her.
It's featured in many paranormal shows and popular amongst curious guests. Room 305 is by far the most active room in the hotel. There are numerous reports of seeing a woman in the rocking chair near the window. Yeah, rocking chair. Guests and housekeeping have reports of seeing the chair move by itself and knocking coming from inside the closet.
Well, what? Sometimes you gotta let the man out of the closet.
Well, yeah. I don't know about that, though.
Did you ever see that box that I had? It had, like, a suction cup on the bottom with the eyeball.
Nick, I still have it.
Do you still have it?
Yeah. Excuse me, will you let me out of here?
Yeah, that one.
Yes, it literally says that. Yes, I will never forget it. I could quote it if my life depended on it. It's literally sitting in the basement at my mom's
right now. It used to go off without batteries.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
It's so old now that, like, it sounds creepy. Like, it's, like, gross. And I'll literally send you a video of it when I get home. It's, like, slow.
Send the video and post it on the Instagram.
Yes. Sorry, bouncing back. Not to change the original subject.
Yeah, we were talking about the ghost locked in the closet.
History tells us that years ago, an elderly woman who was working a long-term renter would sit by the window for hours on end. No one knows what she was looking for or looking at. Could it be that she was waiting for someone to return, even in death?
Maybe.
I guess we'll never know.
Maybe she was just looking at the view.
Just enjoying the view. All right, we're switching rooms. We're moving over now. These next ghosts can be found in rooms 306, right next door.
Right next door. Going one room down.
Yeah. Years ago, Flagstaff's Red Light District could be found just south of the railroad track, just two blocks from the Monte Vista. In the early 1940s, two prostitutes were brought to room 306. During their visit, they were killed and thrown from their third floor window to the cold street below. Yeah. Over the years, numerous guests have reported being awakened in the middle of the night and unable to return to sleep due to a feeling that they're being watched.
Well, you're definitely being watched at that point.
Yeah. The majority of the time, male guests report feeling the feeling of having hands placed over their mouths and throats and awakening, unable to breathe. Hotel guests over the years have reported a knock at their door and a muffled voice announcing room service. When guests open the door, shocker, no one is present.
Well, duh, I do that normally.
I do that all the time.
I do that all the time. I knock on everybody's door. Friends' doors, other doors in hotels.
Yeah, you're just ding-dong bitching everybody.
Well, I ask them room service.
Room service. Mm-hmm. However, some guests have seen the figure of a bellboy standing outside of room 210.
Why just 210?
I don't know.
Mystery of 210.
John Wayne experienced this ghost during a few of his stays.
Did he like tip him and money fell through his hand?
Mr. Wayne reported that the ghost seemed friendly and that he did not feel threatened by its presence. The housekeepers frequently experienced the antics of the bellboy. One report states seeing a young male in an old-fashioned red coat with brass buttons walking up and down the halls. This one's a little sad. The disturbing sounds of an infant crying in the basement have been heard again and again. Reported primarily by maintenance and laundry personnel, this is one of the most disturbing encounters.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I hate that.
I know.
The other night, Frank and I were, like, we were winding down.
Yeah.
The baby was asleep, and we're both, like, laying there, starting to fall asleep, and out of nowhere, we both hear a baby cry. Like, she woke up,
right.
And we were both like, and we, like, got up and looked at the monitor. She was still
sound
out
asleep.
Cold.
Yeah.
Out cold, and we were like, wow.
That's crazy.
They say you hear that, though.
Yeah.
Like, once you have a
but
baby.
But, like, shared together, you guys both hearing
same
it
time,
at the same
time. Yeah, we looked
crazy.
Right at each other, and we were like.
Yeah. Jeff had found themselves running upstairs to escape the sound of cries. Though the sounds are very real to those who hear them, there has been no information that has explained this phenomenon. Another spookier apparition is that of the Shadow Man. He is a tall, menacing figure who appears to people near the basement. His identity was never figured out, but guests report feeling terrified whenever he shows up. Validly so.
Is he, like, slender?
I don't know. It just says What did I say? Shadow Man. I hear Shadow Man and I think like tall. I just automatically think like really tall, real skinny. Just shadow.
Top hat?
Yeah.
Not like a top. Yeah, I guess like top,
top like a little hat. Yeah. Yep.
Some kind of hat.
Phantom footsteps follow guests down the hallways. Disembodied voices whisper in the ears of bar patrons, and spirits are known to move furniture around in empty rooms. The hotel staff have learned to live with the spirits and consider it just a running gag. Just a joke. You know, just a vibe.
I mean, I don't... I wouldn't care. Like, yeah. If my house was haunted and they were, like...
Chill.
Chill.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't, like, malicious or whatever, I wouldn't care.
All right.
Do your thing.
Yeah.
You want to help me put plates away? Be my guest. You want to take the plates out and re-put them on the table after I put them away?
Fine.
Be my guest.
Yeah.
Just don't come after me or my dogs or my kid or whatever. Yeah. Like, then we'll have problems. I'll sage your ass.
All right. On several occasions, lounge staff and patrons have witnessed a transparent couple dancing in the cocktail lounge. They're seen in formal dress, laughing and smiling, eternally dancing. I thought that was sweet.
Yeah, that is a nice one. Happy memory for them.
Right. And then there's the bank robber.
Jesse James?
Jesse James. In 1970, three men robbed a nearby bank. During the robbery, a bank guard shot one of the men. Despite their injured comrade, they decided to celebrate by stepping in the lounge to have a drink. The wounded man bled to death while enjoying his last drink.
Hmm.
Since then, both patrons and staff have reported being greeted by an anonymous voice saying good morning. There have also been reports of bar stools and drinks that seem to just move on their own, and people have dubbed him the ghost of the bank robber.
Hmm, that's cool.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I'd go and have a drink with him.
Yep.
While the truth behind these tales do ultimately remain a mystery, they have undoubtedly contributed to the rich tapestry of the Monte Vista Hotel's history and enduring lore.
Oh, yeah. That's got, I mean, ton of history, ton of lore. Yeah.
It's old.
Yeah, it's old. Know.
It's the trifecta of hotels, of course. You know, I have to ask, would you stay?
Yes.
Would you go?
Yeah.
I know, I say nothing. I always have to ask, and the answer is always yes. I'm the one that, like, would have to be convinced.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing, like, if it was still standing, if you were like, oh, would you go stay, like, H.H. Holmes Murder House or Murder Building? I think
the
building,
only one like, you've ever said you wouldn't go to is the cursed one that I did because...
Yeah, no.
I'm not gonna attempt fate. Even talking about it was making me nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not gonna... Wait, was that... We had an episode where we were talking about something and, we tried like three or four times. Like,
yeah.
It just didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what that one was, but...
Yeah. It's happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, that wraps it up for this episode. I thought it was a... Can't have a haunted hotel out there and me not talk about it.
No. No. We can't.
Yeah.
You're going to have to start visiting them, though.
I know. I really am. I'm going to have to start knocking them off the list.
Yeah. Yep. Because if you don't, then we're going to have to put a halt on your covering them.
Yeah, seriously.
Mm-hmm. So get a travel credit card and start traveling.
Yeah.
So, as always, we thank Sam.
Yes.
Check her podcast out, Scare Me Sam. Check her blog. I guess it'll be a blog. Mm-hmm. ScareMeSam.com. And what else can you do? You can email us at ominousarchives@gmail.com. And, oh, we didn't do it last episode. Look at us. Please rate, review, tell a friend,
comment, all the
things. All those things. We love interacting. And you just always got to remember to come back next week. Because we're going to keep diving in to more strange and haunted places and things and all kinds of stuff down here.
All the stuff.
Yeah. In the Ominous Archives. See ya.
See ya.